now.
Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes.
I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Julie Bond, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Chief Information Officer. Julie, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, let's start with some basics. I think a lot of people are familiar with the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and the mission, but let's give us a 30-second elevator speech of really what the goal of the mission of CMS is.
Very simplistically, we administer the federal Medicare and Medicaid programs. Of course, Medicaid is a program that we run with the state. But I think that more pragmatically, the thing that I always like to think about is that what we're doing is we're buying health care for over 90 million, maybe 100 million people in the country. So we buy a third of the nation's health care. So with that mission comes, very important activities around making sure that the beneficiaries get the health care that they deserve. But also there's a lot of financial resources of the federal government, the taxpayers, that we have to administer and manage. And so there's a lot of work that goes into that aspect of the programs as well.
You think of CMS, you think of a Social Security Administration, IRS, those all fall into that bucket of if you go outside of our Washington, D.C. area, Baltimore area community, you've heard of those, at least those agencies. So CMS, there's always a lot of focus on what you guys do, I imagine.
Well, often I'll say I work for CMS, but a lot of times when people aren't familiar with, the federal government the way some of us inside the Beltway people are, I'll say I work for the federal agency that administers the Medicare and Medicaid programs. And people understand Medicare and Medicaid, where they might not have heard CMS, the acronym.
Exactly. I think that's always the difference there. Oh, yeah, Medicare, Medicaid, I love it. Or
yeah.
Let's talk about you as the CIO. You support that mission, as you said it so eloquently in the 30 seconds I gave you there. How do you support the CMS mission?
I wear two hats for the agency. I'm the CIO, yes, and I'm also the director of our Office of Information Services. And as the director of OIS, I'm running basically a pretty typical IT organization. It's a little bit large, certainly in the scope of what we're responsible for, but we develop systems, we maintain systems, we run data centers, we have the agency's network under our responsibility, we manage an enterprise data warehouse environment. In other words, it's, kind of a pretty typical, as I said, IT organization. As the chief information officer, I have, kind of this oversight responsibility that comes in statute, as all federal CIOs have, especially around governance of our IT investments, but also around information security. And I sort of distinguish those two positions because the agency actually does a lot more with IT beyond what actually happens directly in my organization. And so as CIO, I have this kind of governance function over all of that as well. So we have systems that process Medicare claims. And we have systems help make sure beneficiaries are enrolled in Medicare Advantage or Medicare Fee-for-Service or Medicare Part D. We have some pretty standard insurance type of systems, things that do eligibility inquiries and responses, things that send remittance advice, as we call them, back to providers to tell them how much they're going to get paid for providing services. So, we sort of look like a big health insurance company from an IT perspective.
Now, you wear those two hats, and they're in many ways, they're just two sides, two different colors of the same hat in many ways. Would you agree?
I think they are certainly for the things that I have, the IT work that I have direct responsibility for. For the IT work that maybe is run out of some of the other components in CMS, where I'm the CIO, so I have to sort of oversee information security and make sure that the investments are being governed wisely, it's actually it's a little bit more of a collaborative responsibility that I have, meaning, I have to kind of work more with powers of influence as opposed to powers of direction, which I have over my own stuff.
I was going to ask you about that, too, because a lot of times I hear from CIOs, some are operational, some are strategic, some are moving out of the operational into the day-to-day and moving to more of the strategic. You seem to have a really solid foot in both rooms, if you will, because as the CIO, you have that oversight responsibility, so you probably are also looking at strategy and how to move the agency forward. And I would imagine also as the Director of Information Services, you'll have that operational viewpoint too. Would you agree with that?
I think that's actually a really excellent way to describe it. And the operational world is fun. It's where I cut my teeth in IT and working in an operational environment, actually for Social Security Administration. But being able to be in this kind of more strategic role, especially with programs the size and importance of Medicare and Medicaid, it's actually a really fun aspect of my job is to try to advance the programs, and in turn, we advance healthcare for the whole country.
I know you also have a chief technology officer, Henry Chow. How do you guys work together in terms of the way your office is set up?
I often would say I couldn't survive without Henry. Henry focuses a lot on the technology governance aspects, you know, so making sure that systems are actually going to work together. He's established a whole kind of mature review function around all the agency's IT investments. We call it our technical review board. But he's also advancing that by establishing the technical roadmap that the agency is going to take. And Henry sits in the office next door to mine, so we see each other every single day. There's hardly a day that goes by we don't talk to each other. We are really closely aligned in all the aspects of what we do. We talk a lot about strategic direction because Henry is an incredibly strategic thinker, and so he gets really engaged with that on how systems need to look, where we need to be trying to go. And then he translates that into the technology roadmap, and I try to translate that into an investment roadmap and a financial roadmap to help the agency go forward.
And let's talk about the makeup of your office a little bit. How many federal workers do you have versus contractors? I know, for instance, I spoke with the Social Security Administration CIO recently, Mr. Frank Bateman, and he talked. He had a lot more feds doing IT work than I ever thought. I know you guys are different, obviously different agency, but I know if you're set up similar because in many ways you have a very similar mission. And talk about your network infrastructure. You guys centralized, decentralized, or kind of a hybrid? And of course, everybody wants to know IT budget and how much is your IT budget for 2010?
All right, so that's like multiple questions, so let me sort of take that in chunks. So in my office, we have, we're about to approach 400 people. Of late, we've been at about 350, but we've a little bit of a hiring surge of late, and so we're almost to 400. In turn, in that office, we manage a lot of different contractors because we do most of the nuts and bolts of our IT work through our business partners. And that's actually one of the things I spend a lot of my own time on, which is working with our business partners, setting up those contractual relationships, and making sure that they're collaborative, because what we don't like to do is have contractors, of course, pointing fingers at each other. But I spend a lot of my own personal time in that area, and I mean but my own time at work. So when we have attempted to count up the number of people working for our business partners that are working on CMS IT projects, we generally end up in the vicinity of thousands, but it's single-digit thousands, but it's probably around 1,000 to 2,000. So we're not exactly sure because we really focus on the work and not necessarily the number of people that are working on it. In the rest of the agency, we've counted up people working on IT-like jobs, and it's probably around 550 people total. But then you can add more to the total people working on IT at our business partners in conjunction with those projects. So the agency's IT budget for 2010, just under $1 billion a year. A little bit more than half of that gets spent out of my office, and the rest of it is spent on some particular projects, for example, our financial management system or some of our contractors that do things around fraud, waste, and abuse and things like that. So it's all things that are, again, under my governance. The network conversation is actually an interesting conversation to have. I would say it's decentralized. We certainly have a part of our network we call the core network, and that connects our enterprise data centers, which between the data centers that we have in Baltimore, where I work, as well as in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Columbia, South Carolina, and those both run by business partners of ours, there's a core network, and that's highly secure, private, and you might imagine lots and lots of bandwidth. But the bulk of Medicare claims processing, Medicare Advantage enrollment, and some of our financial operations happen in that core network. And then from there, we connect to a lot of other business partners, because Medicare itself is a sort of decentralized program in the sense that the agency contracts with Medicare administrative contractors in geographic areas around the country for the purposes of processing Medicare claims and appeals and all the sort of basic things that we need to do to run the Medicare program. So our network extends kind of via an extranet to those types of entities that are engaged in the direct day-to-day business operations of the agency. So that's, you know, sort of decentralized enough. But then again, we are very much like a health insurance company. And so we have to have ways and abilities to interact directly with the healthcare provider community that's in the United States, right? They have to be able to send claims to us. They have to be able to do all the things that they do to run their financial operations through Medicare. And I'm kind of more specific to Medicare right now because Medicaid's a state program, and so we interact with the states on Medicaid more. But oftentimes providers will not actually have their own IT or will not talk directly to us or to our Medicare contractors, but they've contracted with, say, a billing service or a clearinghouse to help them get all their claims to where they need to go. And so we have to interact with that community as well, which is not people that we've directly decided to connect to our network, but we have to have ways for them to securely send us information as well as get information back to them in their role kind of as a representative of the provider community. So, it's sort of a long answer to, we're pretty decentralized, but it's actually driven by the business that we're in, as opposed to a deliberate decision to be decentralized in our network.
And also makes your job probably a lot more complicated in many ways, dealing with both the core network, as you described it, but also that kind of network of people bringing, sending you data that's, as you said, more decentralized. And then you mentioned data centers, but we're going to get to all of that in a little bit. But first, we're going to have to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Julie Bond, the CIO for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Julie Bond, the Chief Information Officer for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Now, Julie, before break, we talked a lot about the makeup of your office, the fact that you have about 400 people that work directly for the CIO's office, but then maybe 1,000 or 2,000 when you look at contractors and other people around the agency. So it's a lot of people. And then you talked about your budget's just under $1 billion, which is a pretty big budget. I imagine you're in the top 3 or 4 civilian agencies. So talk about your priorities. What are you really hoping to get done over the next 6 or 9 months with all those people and all that money?
I don't want to start a priority question without emphasizing the fact that what we do, and I got this into the answer for the first question, which I talked about, we are buying healthcare for pretty much 1/3 of the people in the country. And that's our core mission. And so in my office, we spend a lot of time making sure that the systems that support that whole operation work every single day. And we do something kind of what, in my experience, which is unusual in the IT world, is we actually change those systems almost every single quarter. And we've changed them, and that's putting in new business requirements and policy changes, because there's not a year that goes by, and now it's more than once a year often, that we don't get new Medicare legislation, right? We need to pay for a certain type of service a different way, or we're going to do a new bundled payment system, or just all kinds of things that people are trying to do. Really, a lot of it's focused on controlling the cost of healthcare. But every day those systems need to work because they deliver healthcare to 1/3 of the country. And so that's a huge priority for my office, is making sure that that happens. So with that said, of course, there's a lot of new things coming towards us as well. And right now I'm embroiled, as many CIOs in the federal government are, in the budget conversation, right? We're in the midst of working with the staff in the Department of Health and Human Services to put together the fiscal 2012 budget request, which is going through the process to become part of the president's budget. We're also working with people on the Hill in our Office of Legislation on what's going to be in the fiscal 2011 appropriation. And so, there's just sort of a lot of nitty-gritty work like that that goes on really in every CIO's office. As far as the new things that are heading towards us, we are absolutely working on establishing a position of prominence in open government and transparency. CMS has often been viewed as an agency that likes to hold its data close, and we're certainly very dedicated to the privacy of the information that we hold, because we have a lot of healthcare data, as you might imagine. But we also want to be true to the administration's provisions around open government and transparency, and so we're working very hard to make new data and information products available publicly. And so that's a big priority for us. And, of course, we've had kind of two very important pieces of legislation in the past a little bit over a year now. The first was the Recovery Act, which had a portion called HITECH. We call it the Health Information Technology Incentive Payment Program, but it's really that, it's exactly that. We're implementing a new payment program to incentivize providers to implement electronic health records. So that's a big focus for us. And then a little piece of legislation called the Affordable Care Act passed a few months ago, and we have a lot of attention devoted to that right now. We're really kind of sorting through. There's obviously some things that have already been implemented, and we've worked through those as we've had to, and we're sorting through the rest of the bill. Now there's some 500 provisions of that bill that are going to be the responsibility of CMS to implement, and we're identifying what are the IT implications of those, working to make sure that they're resourced and they get into the pipeline for changes or whatever needs to happen, and that we understand what needs to happen. And scope it appropriately, because that represents an awful lot of systems work to us. And then the last thing I think I'll mention in this answer is one of the things that's in the Affordable Care Act is a requirement for CMS to produce a systems modernization plan. And we just have to produce it and publish it on our website by the end of the year. But it's actually an opportunity for me to kind of generate a lot of focus even inside the agency on the fact that really our systems, those ones I talked to you about at the beginning of this answer, that we need to keep running every single day for the American people, a lot of them are rooted in 1980s and 70s technologies. And while that seems like a bad thing, they do their job fairly well. They're just not amenable to a lot of change. And we know a lot of change is coming, so there's a need to really kind of address that whole world and poise us for the more information-centric healthcare world of the future. And so I'm pretty excited about this need to produce this plan. So we're basically taking strategic planning documents that we've produced out of the IT organization, and we're really going to be kind of advancing them to the next level so that they'll become the CMS Systems Modernization Plan in December.
All right, big, big filled plate there. All right, I don't know where to start. I'm fascinated when you talk about you got to change your systems quarterly, you know, most of the time. And then you, at the very end, you talked about, well, a lot of our systems are rooted in 70s and 80s technology. How do those two work together? Because as you said, that they do a great job, but they're not always amenable to change. Yet you got to change them very often. Talk about how you deal with that.
That's a great question. And we've developed processes over the years associated with those systems that are in that problem area, if you would, that are pretty rigid change control processes. So it actually takes the planning, the development, the testing, et cetera, everything associated around a quarterly release takes about 7 months. So you can imagine we have multiple releases going on in parallel. So it feels sometimes like a software company, right, that they have all the releases of their operating system lined up and they're working on probably one or two at the same time. Well, we tend to be working on as many as three quarterly releases at the same time. They're at different parts of their life cycle. And we've established change control boards and, you know, go, no-go decisions. And these, by the way, have to encompass not just CMS staff, but the Medicare contractors who process claims, as well as our financial systems, the people that run the financial systems, because there's interactions there. The enterprise data warehouse environment often has to get associated with it. So there's this, like, massive process and industry around managing each quarterly release. But maybe we know a piece of functionality is not working quite well from the testing and stuff, so we might, on a particular quarterly release, hold a particular type of claim for, usually it's no more than a matter of days while we're working on a software problem to get that fixed. It's definitely not ideal, and we're much more happy with some of our other worlds, like around our enrollment systems that are for Medicare Advantage and things like that, that we can change less frequently. I actually don't mind bigger releases if I can do them less often. It's the quarterly nature of the change process that it can be challenging to manage. But that's really what we do. We put a lot of process maturity around it.
I was going to say that the idea of change management and the control board and bringing in all the people together, it seems like you've got this down to a science in many ways because you've probably had to do it so often.
We do have to do it often, and we are really along the way taking some calculated risks. You know, when you know things aren't working exactly right, we've gotten very good at contingency planning. You know, if this doesn't work, we're going to do this. You know, if this doesn't work, we're going to do this, and then having to execute them. And most of it, to the credit of the process, happens incredibly quietly, with nobody ever knowing about it, because it just has gotten so good, and we are actually have gotten pretty good at correcting the problems, even when they occur.
The other piece of that you talked about was updating the systems to the modernization plan. Now, you said that's going to come out in December timeframe. You've probably already started on it at least a little bit. This plan will say where we are now and where we want to go, or what's the plan really going to try to address from a broad perspective?
From a broad perspective, it's going to certainly address what we need to do in terms of managing our enterprise data environment, and basically to make there's a huge belief, I think this is a sort of a nonpartisan issue, that data and information help drive the problems in healthcare, right? Access, care, and quality. Sometimes I'll say that the answers to the cost problem around healthcare or the quality problems in healthcare are lying hidden in our databases, and they're not even all databases. Some of them are sequential files. We just need to have the tools and the people who understand what they're looking at to work with it. And so that's going to be a huge piece, is how do we organize the massive quantities of data and information that we get in ways that are useful to decision makers in each kind of one of those areas, you know, really around general healthcare policy. And so that's certainly an aspect of it. Another aspect of it is the payment, right? Right now, payment is made largely on, you know, if you send a claim and you're a valid provider and you've provided a service to a beneficiary that we know about and that they're entitled to have because they haven't utilized it, you know, the claim is going to get paid. And I think we need to be able to pay, I'll use the word more creatively. I don't really mean creatively. I mean, you know, we need to be able to pay for quality and pay for healthcare outcomes as opposed to quantities of service. And lastly, and then a very important mission and goal of CMS is we're trying to get at the fraud, waste, and abuse problem. And there's if you read anything about fraud, waste, and abuse in healthcare, you know that it's driven by data and information. And so our systems have to step up to that challenge and be able to provide information or flag things along the way that look fraudulent so that we can stop paying and chasing, right? We can get in front of those types of things.
All right, we're going to have to take another break, but you got me excited to talk more about data here. So we'll come back. We'll talk more about not only data centers, as you mentioned earlier, but also the open and transparency worth of data. In the meantime, you're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Julie Bond, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Chief Information Officer.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Julie Bond, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Chief Information Officer. Now, Julie, before break, we talked a lot about your priorities. We talked a lot about both data and the way your systems work, but one of the priorities you mentioned was open government and transparency, which is something that every agency is really focusing on. But you guys are doing a lot with data and have so much potential to, when you put your data out there, for really good things to happen. Talk about how you are meeting the administration's openness and transparency initiatives.
So CMS is doing several different things. The first is, of course, when data.gov first started, we moved as assertively and aggressively as we could to sort of line up everything that we already had available publicly and listed on data.gov, because data.gov just has sort of very, from my perspective, useful way of searching for information that you're looking for that maybe wasn't as intuitive when the data is sort of scattered about the CMS website even. So we did that. And we've also been trying, working very hard to create more products or to make products that typically we might have made available, maybe only on CD or something like that, available through the data.gov interface. We're also working on some new projects to see how well we could potentially de-identify some of our data and make it available publicly at a more granular level than we do right now. Like, typically we won't make any kind of beneficiary level information available, even if we take off the obvious identifiers, because we're very concerned about it being re-identified. There's a whole science around this. But we're actually working with some identification specialists to see what we can maybe do in this area so that we can even make more interesting and more robust data sets available. So that's a huge thing for us. We also have the Department of Health and Human Services, like all secretary-level agencies, published an OpenGov plan, I think it was in April. And CMS was one of the flagship initiatives in the department's plan, specifically our CMS dashboard. And we're pretty excited about that project. And it's really utilizing an enterprise data warehouse environment called the Integrated Data Repository here that we've had for a very long time, as well as some of the business intelligence tools that we've had in place in the agency. And we're putting them together in a way that we've never done before to sort of create this useful interface and useful look into aggregated data about the programs. And we think it's going to be an interesting way to look at sort of the costs of how much we spend on Medicare and kind of where some of the money goes. But we're also looking at ways to use the same sort of visualization techniques around our Medicare Part D data. So that's kind of interesting work. That's not available publicly yet, but you know, we're advancing forward on that. And then we're trying to do, you know, sort of interesting things with suggestion programs and just sort of ways of interacting and collaborating both inside the agency, but also we'll be looking at ways to do that externally as well, because you might imagine that the healthcare industry is quite interested in some of the things that CMS does, and so we kind of need to have more robust ways of interacting on those types of things that have an impact on the whole industry.
Listen, we are unfortunately almost out of time. As I said, we could have talked. I bet we could talk for an hour, but I know you're very busy. So let me just end with your background a little bit. How long have you been at CMS? Where else have you worked in industry or government? Just tell us how you got to where you are.
I've been at CMS for almost exactly 10 years now. Before that, I spent 15 years at the Social Security Administration. I did all my formative growing up in IT and Social Security. I'm very glad I did. They taught me, I learned so much about process. I spent most of my time in the data center operations world there. I learned about operations, and that's really where the core mission of the agency gets carried out in IT operations. I'm definitely a product of my years at Social Security. And at CMS, what is so cool about CMS is that really that change, right? And that attention that's being paid on healthcare and in makes us in the IT world, because again, the core mission of the agency gets carried out in the IT systems. We have to be incredibly responsive. So we still have to do all that process stuff, and we have to do all that disciplined things around making sure the systems work and continue to work. But we have to do it so much quicker in an environment of so much change that I'm telling you, if anybody wanted a challenge in information technology, the place to work is CMS, because systems are huge, they're big, they're counted on, they play in a hugely important role. I'll just give you an example. Medicare Part A payments were not working correctly because of the systems issue to one state last year, and in one day, the governor was on the phone with the administrator saying the hospitals wouldn't be able to make payroll if we didn't get those checks cut. And so that's the kind of pressure that we're under, and so it's just, for me, it's an invigorating place to work. I mean, I like having those kinds of challenges, and I would highly recommend it to anybody who's considering an IT career. If you want a real challenge, come to work at CMS.
I think you should put that on a poster and get it out there. That's a great sell. Unfortunately, though, we're out of time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Julie Bond, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Chief Information Officer. Julie, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it was a pleasure to be here. Thank you for the great questions, and thank you for listening to me.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.